Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship, joy, continually blessing God. This is the reaction that the disciples have at the ascension in Luke this morning. But I would imagine that most of our pictures of the disciples on Ascension Day show something else after the ascension. Standing there looking up into the sky as their master is taken away from them, up into heaven, and out of their sight. And even in our reading from Acts this morning, we get a glimpse of that as the disciples stand there dazed, looking up into heaven. But Luke tells us something that happens after that. How they return with joy and are worshiping and continually blessing, thanking God. You know, I have to tell you that the ascension is probably one of the most misunderstood parts of the Bible. You almost have to think that it's a day of great sadness. You would think that it's a day of long goodbyes, maybe imagining one of those Hollywood scenes where the loved one trails off on a train, they're sticking their hand out the window, saying a long goodbye. It's also sad, right? Well, no. Luke writes, "While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God." It doesn't sound like a sad occasion to me. They worshiped Jesus. They had great joy. And they were continually blessing God. What was it about Jesus' ascension that actually makes it a joyous occasion? You know, if the ascension is only about how we are left here to take on Jesus' mission and continuing it for him now that he's gone, then we make Jesus' ascension truly a sad day indeed. No amount of me telling you to be joyful, worship God, bless God will do. If the ascension is only about Jesus leaving the first disciples and us alone to do his unfinished business, there would be no worship of Jesus. Our worship would be warped. We would make things that are secondary, like our bellies, our bank accounts, our personal measurement of success, and our stuff, the primary things. We would dismiss the eternal Lord of all and focus on the temporal things. If the ascension is about Jesus abandoning the first disciples and us, there our joy gets junked for sadness. Jesus' voice will be but a distant memory of a bygone era, and we get to start calling the shots. Grudges get held on to. Blame is passed for failure. Forgiveness is withheld. Prayer for our enemies is not heard. Offense is taken at the slightest of things. Truly sad indeed. And if the ascension is about Jesus abandoning the first disciples and us, blessing is bent out of shape. We as the church would think that our primary mission is to support ourselves and keep our stuff safe. That the thanksgiving would not be directed to God, but ourselves and our craftiness for everything we have. And we would help people in need. As we help people in need, we would find it more satisfying to bless ourselves with a pat on the back for every good deed as we seek to justify ourselves, that we're better off, that we're better people because we've done some good things. If the ascension is just about us, then we are nothing but poor sinners, destined for worship that is warped, joy that's been junked in the trash, and blessing that's been bent back to ourselves. And yet, such is our sin, as the old flesh still clings to us. Our sin makes us guilty of the two greatest commandments, because indeed we have not always loved God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole being. And we have not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. If Jesus is gone and nowhere to be found, then we have no space for God. And caring for our neighbors is nothing but a means to our end for our own selfishness. That's how bad our sin is. Worship, joy, and blessing do not happen, cannot happen, if Jesus is simply gone and the ascension is all about us now. But the thing is, the ascension is not about us. The ascension is about Jesus. In fact, in our reading today, Jesus is the subject of the verbs. Jesus commands the verbs. I invite you all to take out a Bible. You should have Bibles in your front pews. And turn to our reading for today. Turn to our reading from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 44. There in verse 44, Jesus says, "These words of mine which I spoke to you when I was with you." These words of whose? Jesus' words. My words. And who's speaking them? Jesus is speaking them. And what are his words? That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Everything written about Jesus in the Old Testament must be fulfilled. And verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Who opened the scriptures to the disciples? Jesus opened the words about him in the Old Testament to them. They couldn't even understand it unless Jesus is doing it. And verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer. It was necessary that Jesus would suffer for the sins of the whole world. Yours and mine of trusting in ourselves, rebelling against God's law and our own pride. And continuing, and on the third day, rise from the dead. On the third day, he defeated sin, death, and the devil for you, to give you forgiveness. 10,000 deaths of ours would be all too few. Only one man can rise from the dead, and it's Jesus. And Jesus has done it for you. And verse 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. What does that mean, that God's word of law and gospel should be preached in whose name? Jesus' name. And who's doing the act of creating repentance and forgiveness? It only means anything if it's Jesus. And verse 48, beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. These disciples are witnesses of what Jesus has done. And I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. but remain in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The disciples simply receive the promise of life in him, and they wait for the Holy Spirit, which is coming on Pentecost, before they are empowered to go out and testify. Jesus is the one who commands the verbs. Jesus is the one who is active through the power of the Holy Spirit to create faith. And verse 50, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And is there sadness? No. Verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually blessing him, blessing God in the temple. What is the response to the Lord who commands all the verbs, who is present and active in his word and in his sacraments? Worship, joy, and blessing God continue. Worship. Only God receives worship. The ascension is about Jesus ascending to the above all the powers of the world so that nothing has authority over him. And he has just shown that not even death has the authority over him. He has defeated it, defeated the grave. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is the Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. And there is joy. Joy. Because Jesus has accomplished the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation for you. Born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, was buried, and on the third day rose again and ascended to the right hand of God the Father, from whence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus forgives all of your sins, and Jesus reigns even now over the whole world. And he will come again. There is no other response but joy. There's joy because Jesus is still active and present today when he calls you his own through the waters of regeneration, of baptism. And Jesus is still present and active today when he says, take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood for you. And Jesus is still present and active today when the words of absolution are spoken freely over you. Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is his body. And there is great joy knowing that our head is still alive and present with us. And lastly, they were continually blessing God in the temple. Jesus, doing the present and active work, leads his apostles to continue to meet and bless God, to continually hear his word. Jesus' action leads his people to love his word above all else and to give thanks for it. It leads his people to start seeing how he is at work to bless each of us with blessings too numerous to count. And it leads his people to bless him by dropping to their knees in daily prayer, trusting that he will do his will with his stuff. Everything that we have is his to begin with, and it's his work and will to use it for his good pleasure. This is what happens when Jesus commands all the verbs. Worship, joy, blessing God. Because Jesus has not abandoned us. No, this happens because at Jesus' ascension, He has risen high above all the authorities of this world, and now he rules for us. And he has called us all into that heavenly company, where we too, with the apostles and every Christian before and after us, worship him, have great joy, and continually bless him. Amen.